Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Unless things change significantly, this deadline is going to be kind of boring, or at very least not have a whole lot of guys who, when you hear their names, like even the casual fan's going to know them. If you just look at the impending free agents this offseason, almost all of the really good ones play for contenders. So then you're going to be looking for guys who have team control, you know, guys who have had 2 or 3 years in the big leagues. And those are the ones who every one of them is going to ask for Myers, Campbell, Anthony, Garcia, Franklin Arias, the guys who the Red Sox just don't want to trade. So how they match up trying to add at the deadline is going to be super interesting to me. And I'm not going to judge the Red Sox based on how aggressive they are at this deadline. But I will say, there will be some judgment in place for how they operate this winter.
Jeff Passan on Friday with Arkin. If you missed any of that, you can check it out. Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. A lot in there, I thought. Number one, he expects a quiet deadline because most of the impending free agents aren't big household names, so you got to start looking at guys with term, which is going to cost more, blah, blah, blah.
Better not be too quiet for the Red Sox.
Well, I agree with you on this. If they go out and sign Kyle Tucker, yes, or they go out and sign
Pete Alonso.
Thank you. Alonso's the other name I was trying to come up with. Then, great. Retroactively, I'll look at it and go, okay, they got rid of Devers' money. They retooled the money on another big-ticket guy. I don't really think they're going to do that, by the way. I'm not holding my breath that they're going to do that. And the thing I hate the most about the Devers trade, and I'm mostly on board with it, is John Henry saving money and lowering payroll. Like, that's the thing I find most detestable about it. But they better do something at the deadline. Like, when Passan says, hey, I'm not going to judge him at the deadline, I will.
Yeah, of course.
They better be adding to this team, and that doesn't mean you replace all of Devers' salary. I'm not under the guise that they're going to do that. But they better go out and add at this deadline and try to make a playoff run, get pitching help, get bullpen help, get yourself a right-handed bat who hopefully can also mix in at first base. I'm definitely going to judge him on the trade deadline.
Yeah, that makes no sense. If you want to say you don't want to judge him now, yeah, all right, we kind of have to because it's what's just right. Took place. But if you want
to
say that,
you want to overreact your reasoning, sure.
And you want to say, well, maybe the players they add freeing up some of this money doesn't come until later on. Maybe some of these teams are waiting a little bit longer. You'd mentioned earlier how, you know, with all the playoff teams, almost everybody's in it. So maybe some of these fringe teams want a couple more weeks or whatever. Like, you wait, and then by July 31st, that's where you get another second baseman, starting pitcher, right-handed bat, whatever it might be. If you don't do any of that, you're wasting another season. This is a season you're right there.
You're a half game out of the number three wild card spot. You were in playoff position over the weekend.
And Heim Bloom basically got fired because of you were in it at these deadlines, you bungled the deadlines, you didn't really choose a direction, and then you missed the playoffs. So if Craig Breslow trades Devers, because he was basically told he had to trade Devers, does that, but doesn't do anything else major to the team or really to impact the team's wins and losses, and they end up missing the playoffs, what's the difference of having Heim Bloom back? Like, it's the same kind of crap. So I absolutely will be judging them based on what they do over the next 5 weeks.
Same. And I hope their next move isn't to trade Duran in a vacuum. Like, tell me what the return is.
Yeah, that'd be
and
tough.
Tell me how it fits together, and then maybe I can be talked into that one. But in a vacuum, I don't want them trading Duran, even though he's been wildly disappointing this year. I believe in him the last two seasons as a full-time player, 23 rather, and 24. Were really good years. He was hurt in 23, but he was an MVP candidate last year. So I don't really want them to trade him, but I'd acknowledge he's been underwhelming this year. And as you said, Keith, he'd probably get you a better return than Devers because he's so cheap and he's under team control and he doesn't have a contract worth $313.5 million. You'd probably get a lot more for Duran. But that whole approach, like, hey, we're in the playoffs, but we're going to trade Devers and Durant, I'd have trouble getting on board with that. But you're closer to being okay with it.
I'd be okay with it, but I'm with you. I don't want – you can't have just two salary – I mean, in the case of Devers, what ends up being more of a salary move. In the case of Durant, I guess you're thinking, all right, now we kind of square away our outfield. Like, are you just trading Durant so Roman Anthony, Sadon Rafael, and Willy Abreu can start every day without anybody else out there? Like, that's not the best reason to do that. You should get more of a return for him because you also should have more teams bidding on him. Not every team is willing to take $30 million a year for Devers.
Correct.
Every team in the league, any good team, I would think, would want Jaren Duran, bring him in, and you know, you have a decision to make. You don't have to commit any money to him. I mean, you pay him whatever he's entitled to now for the next couple of years, and then maybe he shows that he's more like he was last year, and you sign him. Or he shows what he is now, and all right, you at least took a shot at it. But we'll see. And the fact that a lot of people are talking about, there's a lot of smoke around now with Jaren Duran.
Well,
trade.
And one of the things we were reading into earlier today, Karabas was in the mentions anyway out there.
Oh, my God. He can't stand the guy now.
Go to Karabas' timeline and go to his mentions. And Karabas, wouldn't take this as a shot. I mean, he prides himself on being a Red Sox fan first, and he's been very supportive of Jaren Duran, and now he's basically like, well, I'm not supporting that guy anymore. I'm done with him.
Yeah.
And so, whatever.
Something happened.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there did. And if it's just a personal thing between the two of them, whatever. What I'm curious is if it goes higher than that, and Karabas kind of knows Duran's on the outs with the organization, and that's why he's ready to now start flaming him. That's what I wonder.
Who's more steaming? This is going to be a new segment.
More steaming.
Who's more steaming?
Okay.
Is it David Ortiz at Rafael Devers, or is it Jared Karabas at Jaren Duran?
Not even close. It's actually Karabas at Duran.
Yeah, he's steaming.
Ortiz might be being pushed to be all fired up about Rafael Devers.
There might be some actual competition.
Maybe Karabas is actually getting pushed to do it as well. But I wonder if Duran's days are numbered in Boston.
Though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Ortiz waited until Devers was gone to really kind of badmouth him. Right now, like, he's already saying he's done. Normally, a lot of fans are done with players, but the team's also done with them.
No, that's fair.
But in this case, Duran's still out there.
That's fair. Karabas isn't ripping him now that he's gone. He's ripping him before he's gone, Ortiz is just ripping Devers once he's gone.
Right.
Which is, again, why I think when people say we're just doing the bidding of ownership, we were ripping Devers quite a bit while he was here.
I think since February.
I don't think we were just ripping Devers on his way out the door, but you see it however you see it.
Yeah.
Our buddy Justin in D.C. in the Twitch chat is also saying that we have no founded takes that they're going to go out and make big runs at players in free agency. I don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to be in on Tucker. I don't think they're going to be in on Alonso. I hope they're in on both. I'd love to be wrong about that. All I said is I think they're going to make moves at this deadline.
Yeah, but they did.
And if that means Castillo or one of the Seattle pitchers, I mentioned Edward Cabrera. I was talking names like Taylor Ward and Eugenio Suarez. Like, I'm not talking about big ticket guys.
But also, I mean, they did sign Bregman and trade for Crochet. And if that makes me sound like a team honk,
it's
like
possible.
Those are guys that they brought in. Now, I know that wasn't a $700 million deal, but that was more than it was the previous 5 years or whatever.
Would you bet on it, though? Like it's possible. I acknowledge they could sign Kyle Tucker. They could. But would I bet on it? No.
No, probably not. It'd probably be more of the three or four guys in like the Chapman type ilk where you're like, all right, you get shorter deals, maybe even like older players, but the guys that can help you. I mean, Chapman's way better than I thought he was going to be.
Way better.
So if you got like the Chapman version of second base or even first base, you probably need first baseman, let's be honest. If you get like somebody like that, then that guy could help you. Like, even going back to some of these other moves, like, the team kind of needs the Tyler O'Neill, Hunter Renfro, Adam Duvall, Justin Turner, these guys that were like seemingly a dime a dozen, but they're all really good here.
A right-handed bat with some pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those guys were good.
Yeah.
20, 30 home runs. They don't have that. And that would be a big – and if that guy can play first base, even better.
We are also getting flack in the Twitch chat for saying we'd want Pete Alonso, but also call Devers fat. Look, Alonso's not the thinnest. He's not – first of all, he still plays in the field.
Yeah.
Unlike Devers. We'll see if Devers ultimately gets in some games in the field for the Giants.
Him being chunky was honestly for me, I mean, maybe you could pull tape on me ripping him. I was like way lower on my list of complaints with Devers than a lot of other things.
It's on my list of complaints. I think it's on the Red Sox list of complaints, but I think one of the areas why the Red Sox thought, this came out in Passan's reporting, why they didn't think it was a big deal to ask him to move positions, move to DH full-time at first, and then when guys got hurt, asked him to play the field again, is because they never demanded he was in shape, and he was never in shape. They never demanded that he did the media obligations. They never demanded that he was a team leader. I mean, they hardly ever demanded that, or even demanded that he was out there for like charitable endeavors.
That's the first time
for the organization.
It's the first time they asked him to literally do anything.
Right. And so I think they felt like it was a minor ask to sacrifice his position on the field, especially when he's terrible at it. He obviously disagreed because he doesn't want to be asked to do anything.
Unless you're the Giants.
But look, Alonzo's not in the greatest shape. I'll acknowledge that. He's in 10 times better shape than Devers.
Yes. Yeah. He's been super productive this year.
If you want to look it up, and I have, he's been a better player than Devers in their careers. More productive player. Two top 10 MVP seasons where he's gotten top 10 MVP votes. He has more home runs. He has, and that's in fewer seasons in the big leagues.
Better nickname.
Higher OPS. Better nickname.
Yeah.
He also, I believe, and again, he's played 7 years in the bigs. He's older than Devers. He's played 7 years in the bigs. Devers has played parts of nine. He's only like 50 RBIs behind Devers. So, there's a real case to make. He's been a better player than Devers.
Yeah, this could be, we'll see how the season goes. This could be his fourth 40 home run season. Devers has zero of those.
Devers only has, what, 330 homer seasons?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So, yeah.
Alonzo had 53 his rookie year.
It goes back to Devers is not a bad player, but he is overrated here.
Yeah.
And he's certainly not a generational player.
No.
Text line 617-779-7937. Guys, it's insane that Durant has had a down year and everyone wants to ship him off. I wouldn't say everyone, but
no,
Keith is moving
everybody.
Closer to
I'm
it.
Closer to it. I was a big no, but like.
Plus, the value is down. What are you going to get for him? Nothing of significance. That I disagree with. If you traded, Durant, The Athletic came out today. They had their top 30 targets at the deadline. Durant was number one. So I bet you'd get a lot for Durant.
I do too. I mean, again, his contract is nothing. Like he's not due for a raise in a few years. So you have team control for a while. You have plenty of time to make your decision on it. And in the meantime, you're paying a guy. He is having a down year, but he was just an all-star a year ago. Let's see. First year of free agency. Eligible free agency. 2029.
Yeah.
It's like you have him for a long time. He's making like $8 million this year.
Let's go to the phones. Doug is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Doug.
Oh, no, less. $8 million next year. Go ahead. Sorry, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
thanks. So couldn't the Red Sox have skipped all this drama if at the beginning of spring training they just kept Devers at third and put Bregman at second? And then you got Costas at first, and Costas went down. You could have switched Bregman to first.
Yeah, but now, so they could have, but now you have Bregman at first and Devers at third. And Bregman's bat maybe plays at first, maybe not. And Devers is still out there butchering balls left and right at third base. So, like,
you know, you made your infield defense a lot better getting Devers out of there.
Yeah, you could have kept bad teammate,
yeah,
Rafi Devers, happy by leaving him at third. But what's best for the team? I think moving him was best for the team. And then when guys got hurt,
yeah,
asking to pick up a glove and play first or third would have been best for the team, but Devers didn't want to help the team.
Yeah, I'm not taking
Devers wanted to help himself.
I'm not taking the gold glove third baseman that you just picked up and then having him play second and then having him play first. Like, Devers out of there in the field, I think, was the right call. And then how he reacts to it, like, okay. Because at some point, this was going to happen.
He was going to have to move, yeah.
You had to get him off third. This has been a conversation for years. Even despite his age, he has always been bad in the field. So this has always been brought up. Even right before he signed the contract, the year he signed the contract after was, all right, how much longer is he going to do this? Not everybody plays the same position forever. And so I wouldn't have done that. But I guess to answer his question, yeah, you could have avoided it. Devers could still be on the team playing third. Bregman could be ping-ponging around. And, you know, Christian Campbell could be ping-ponging around. But would your team be better for that? I don't think so.
I mean, they had Devers at third the last 3 years. They were a 500 team and a last place team in reverse order. So, I don't know. You can play him at third. You haven't been a very good team with him at third. He doesn't realize that. Like that, he still doesn't get that him playing at third every day, he's happy hitting his 30 home runs some years and not other years. And, you know, never being a top 10 MVP candidate and making the all-star team sometimes but not others and being a last place team, he's fine with that. He's fine with that existence, and he still hasn't connected the two dots on maybe the team was underachieving because he was dragging them down with his horrible defense at third base and his overrated offense. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here. I want to get to John Henry. More clarity on his role in the trade came out from Jeff Passan over the weekend. We'll do that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think when they were in Kansas City and John Henry flew in and Sam Kennedy flew in and Craig Breslow flew in, and you know that the three of them are they're not going to fly in if they don't think that they can convince him to do something. They're not going to waste their time if they feel like he's a lost cause. And they sat down with him, and I reported today John Henry met with him for breakfast the next day too. And over the courses of those conversations, that's when it's cemented in their minds that if this guy is not willing to do this, then we don't want him around.
So I think we could have guessed a lot of that and did guess a lot of that from just the timeline leading up to the trade. Henry getting on a flight to Kansas City, leaving, and Rafael Devers still not going into the field to me was shocking when it happened, and it was very telling. Coming out of that series, which the Red Sox actually won. But the reporting there from Jeff Passan isn't just that Henry flew out and met with him. He met with him, went to bed. They met again the next day for breakfast.
Why don't you sleep on it?
Let's take sleep exactly. On it. Sleep on it. Let us know how it goes. Let's meet with him a second time.
I'm not moving.
And he still said no to the guy who writes his checks.
Correct.
Like that is, I mean, it just tells you how insubordinate and how dug in he was on this.
Yeah, he wasn't going anywhere. He wasn't going to change. And so that we wonder if anything was going to happen after the fact, because weeks went by and he wasn't playing first base, like in games, nor even just taking grounders over first base. Then there was a few of those images like, well, he's taking grounders at short.
And he's joking around, being horse's ass at shortstop.
Like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
But then clearly John Henry said to Breslow, like, all right, this guy's not going to do it. We're going to trade him. And maybe that's even how they ended the breakfast. I don't know. I don't know how much of a confrontation there was, but could it have been as simple as like, all right, like you're gonna do this, or we're gonna have to find another place for you to play? And he's probably thinking like, all right, go ahead. Like maybe called their bluff, or even was looking forward to it. Who knows? Maybe he was completely done with it. By the way he's acting in San Francisco, maybe he was completely done with it. But they ended up finding a trade, and now the return is what we're left with, and pick apart and everything else, and where this team goes from here. But yeah, of all things. You know, the way the season started, the expectations, the team wasn't very good. That's another one. Let's say they were 10 games over 500. Same stuff going on. Same exact stuff.
They wouldn't move him.
They'd keep him.
That's what I think. Yeah,
you might be right. Because that's a tough sell. Although, probably a surprise to them, the next day they were in the playoffs.
The day
after they traded them, they were a playoff team.
If Devers was being a crummy teammate, but they're winning games, it's pretty easy to look the other way and go, well, yeah, but the team's playing well, and how much is it really impacting the team? When they're underachieving yet again, and they've been a last place 500 team at best for the last 4 years, then I think it's a little easier to move him. And so I've never thought it's purely a salary dump. I think they were done with Rafi and done with underachieving and done with the team generally stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
But once they decided to move him, clearly getting rid of the full salary was John Henry's main objective, which is why there was one taker. And even when you read from Passan and others, Buster Olney going back to last week, the people praising the trade, they're all praising the finances. And
it's just like other GMs and stuff who also really care about that. Well, whereas as a fan, you're like, we're already paying the highest ticket price.
They're really ripping the original contract. Nobody in baseball really thought that was a good deal for Devers. In fact, Passan reports they didn't want to sign it. They were kind of bullied into something. Bloom didn't want to sign it. Breslow never really liked it. He wasn't here when they signed it. Ownership, and I think we all felt this in real time. Ownership overreacted to the blowback from Bogarts, and they said, fine, let's pay this guy so the fan base doesn't totally turn on
us. See, this is where I don't understand, because you hear like the same people, a lot of the national people, they'll refer to Devers as sort of like a generational talent or hitter, but then also like a horrible contract. It's like, how can both of these things be true? Because the guy is still pretty young, and even if you don't think he's going to be good for every single year of the deal, I don't think most people think any of these guys that sign the 12-year deals are going to be good for all 12 years. But Like Xander Bogaerts, he signed that deal. The second he signed it, you're like, wow, what an overspend.
And
he's been bad since.
And they were right. I mean, say what you want about the Red Sox. And, like, they lowballed him and they didn't negotiate with him. And it's honestly very much like John Lester. But they were right to, once he hit free agency, they were right to balk at paying him.
But I don't get the Devers like discussion around it from everybody. Because if he really is 31-20 every year for the next four, let's call it, that's still a bad contract. Like, how I don't know. In this case, I don't know how they both can be true.
Well, I bet a lot of people in baseball don't feel like he's going to keep going 31-20 as he ages.
So there you go. So maybe that's what it is.
Because when you're overweight and you don't help out in the field at all, I'd imagine that's the kind of player that doesn't age very
well. But contracts are going up, and I feel like at one point, $30 million a year for a DH would have been crazy. But I don't know. I think we're kind of past that. Like, if you have a guy that can at least have that production, like, if he's steady at that production, that's probably worth it when you see some of the other contracts that are being handed out.
Text line, smear campaign is gross. I don't think it's a smear campaign from us, but the David Ortiz stuff is a little gross.
Too much.
It's too much.
David, we don't need it.
When David came out initially and said, I tried to reach out to him, he didn't respond. I never heard back. That was enough. I think
David
that was
Ortiz.
And I believed him.
Me too. I definitely believe him. But just because you're telling the truth doesn't mean it's not a smear campaign. Like, I think Breslow's getting smeared right now by Cora or Bloom people who were fired when he did his audit or whatever. Like, I think Breslow's getting smeared as well, but it doesn't make it untrue. It just means people were waiting for the right time to get their info out. I'm sure Devers wasn't communicating with Ortiz and he blew him off and had him on mute. Ortiz didn't say, this is a smear campaign, Ortiz didn't say any of that when Devers was employed by the Red Sox.
Right.
He only volunteered it the second he was gone. So that to me is,
in fact,
the most odious thing going on with all of this.
He talked out of both sides of his mouth when he was on the team and they were asking him if he should play first base.
He did.
And he was like, lie, like, defend Devers. Then he was like, but
I would have done it.
But then Pedro called out Ortiz. And then, so some of this might also be Ortiz kind of calling out.
Clapping back.
Or just like proving it to Pedro. But it's like, you got Pedro's number. Like, but he's making it all very public, this whole thing. And it's, even if you're on his side, you're like, all right, like, we got it. Because that's the other thing. A lot of people are like, oh, Devers is getting smeared or whatever. There's been a lot written over the last 2 weeks, a lot said on, like, radio or podcasts about everything going on. Does Devers, Cora, Breslow, or Henry look good? What makes those guys look good?
Well, I don't think anybody looks good, but you know who comes out of it looking the best?
No. Who?
Cora, to me, comes out of it looking the best.
But if you're paying attention, maybe you're right. Maybe just from the outside, maybe. But if you're paying attention, he's had maybe the worst season of the four.
But go read Jun Lee. Go read Buster Olney. Yeah. Go read Passan. Who comes out of it with the least egg on their face? Cora.
Okay.
Which probably tells you a lot about the sourcing. Tells you a lot about where the stories are coming from, to me.
True, but there's a lot of like, well, Devers couldn't be fixed. And it's like, well, whose fault is that?
No, and even Passan put that on him with Arkin the other night.
Yeah.
But that's about the only thing that's sticking to Cora, and that's unavoidable. Like, you gotta be the manager
Breslow
who handles
Henry
personalities.
Don't look good in any of this.
No, definitely not.
That's what's
No, and add Ortiz to the list, who took to social media and called the Red Sox the best organization in baseball, and also said you got to be a full package of a player, go Sox, when Ortiz was a full time DH.
Well, hashtag go Sox.
So I mean, that didn't really make a lot of sense to me. Robert's in Springfield. Go ahead, Robert.
I just have a couple quick points, guys. I keep hearing people call in, oh, why wouldn't you leave Devers at third base? Guys, he sucks at third base.
True.
Stop calling in saying that, keep him at third base. Why would you do that knowing that he's the worst third baseman in the league? I have a quick question, guys. In the trade deadline, would you guys rather get an arm or a hitter? In my opinion, I would want a pitcher.
Okay, well, I think I would have
bat now.
I think I would have answered pitcher. And this lack of hitting started even when Devers was here. They were winning a bunch of games with Devers here, and Devers wasn't hitting. The whole offense wasn't going in the month of June. My answer might swing around to a right-handed bat. And, oh, now you need a bat now that Devers is gone? You need a bat that also...
You need a lefty bat, too, because it's David Hamilton now.
Well, no, you need a righty bat. Yeah, you have plenty of lefties on this team.
Yeah.
And so, to me, right-handed bat maybe rocketing
Although
to the top of the list.
It depends.
They need pitching help because...
I would take the best bat available, to be honest, because, well, we'll see what happens with Duran. But you started the year with Duran, Devers, and Casas all hitting on the top four of your lineup. Those are three lefties that potentially could all be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are gone. So, like, best bat available... I will take. They've had too many games where they just aren't scoring runs at all. I think yesterday, not an example of it, but overall the bullpen has been pretty good. The starters, I mean, yeah, I would like to upgrade Walker Buehler, for example, or Dobbins, but I think you're probably locked in. I mean, you have your Haas, but then you also have...
It's been arrow up in June for the pitching.
Yeah,
arrow down
yeah,
for the
yeah, bat. Right, so right. Giolito's had a few good ones. Bale's had a few good ones. So I think the bat is the answer.
My real answer is you should be able to get both.
Yeah, right.
And I disagree with Passan on this. Passan said he's not going to react to their trade deadline or overreact one way or the other. They need to make moves. They need to add. So my real answer is both, but prioritizing one, and maybe I'm overreacting to the last couple of weeks, I would prioritize a righty stick. 617-779-7937. You guys can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We'll start mixing back in some basketball thoughts. That includes Game 7, NBA Finals, new champion, and maybe a new dynasty in the NBA, plus Kevin Durant on the move. How does that shake up the NBA landscape? We'll get to all of it next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.